You may have heard of the well-known Bible teacher, speaker, and author, Dwight Pentecost. On today's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to take a look at what his view of eternal salvation was. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm so glad that you joined us. Now, we're currently doing a little bit of a unique series, a series examining the theology of Dallas Theological Seminary between 1965 and 1990. This was a time where there were some very well-known Bible teachers who were extremely influential in evangelical churches. Today, we're going to examine Dwight Pentecost. Leading off in this discussion is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're discussing what Dallas Theological Seminary, a school that we both admire, what they taught about salvation between 1965 and 1990. And this is based on an article that I've published in the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. And if you want to get that journal, I think for new subscribers, it's something like $9 for two issues, and that includes shipping.
Right.
So basically, we don't make any money off of that. We're basically giving it to you at cost. But we really think it'll be a blessing to you. It's not written at such a high level that you need to have a PhD in theology to understand. Anybody who has graduated from high school, who is a pastor, a youth minister, whoever, who likes theology, they can read our journal and benefit from
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you will benefit from at least the book reviews, if not the articles. So I have this article about what popular Dallas Theological Seminary professors taught about salvation. And we just discussed John Walvoord in previous episodes. And today we're just going to discuss J. Dwight Pentecost.
Right. Famous for the book Things to Come. He was also, like Dr. Walvoord, a big author on prophecy.
Right. That was his dissertation, Things to Come. And it sold like, I don't know, I think the last time I saw the cover, it was like 250,000 copies.
Right.
Which is astounding for a book of theology. But what did he say about the saving message? Now, when I was studying his writings, I was really pleased. He has this book called Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. One thing he mentioned was that, this is what I understand him to be saying, that eternal security is central to the kind of salvation that Jesus promised.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so this is, I think, very key. He says, this is a quote from pages 123 to 124 in Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. As we consider with you the doctrine of security, we recognize immediately that our security is related to the kind of salvation which God has provided for sinners. Has God provided salvation, or has God provided a chance for salvation to those who accept Jesus as a personal Savior? This is part of the reason why we love Dallas Seminary, because they taught the doctrine of eternal security. Eternal security, as Dr. Pentecost is saying here, is not a side issue. It's not a side benefit.
Right.
It has to do with the kind of salvation that Jesus offered.
Right. In other words, he's saying, if a person believes that Jesus has given me a chance to make it into heaven, a chance to get into the kingdom, a chance to eternal life, and it starts by faith, but now I've got to keep it by works, he'd say, no, no, you don't get it yet.
Yeah, he's saying that's not salvation. There's either two choices. God has either provided salvation, or he's provided a chance for salvation. And the salvation is eternally secure.
That's good.
And I really like that, because that's what we believe. If you don't know you are secure forever, then you haven't believed in Jesus for the salvation he promised yet. You've believed in something, but you haven't believed in Jesus for the salvation
he
promised.
Well, or a person could have believed it in the past and lost their way.
Right.
But if they've never believed it, they've not yet been born again. Because that's the only salvation Jesus offers. He doesn't have two kinds. Like, well, you can get the eternal kind, or you can get some probation.
Yeah. So if you're only believing in probation, then you haven't believed in Jesus as the Savior that he is. Now, think of it this way. When God promised Abraham a son, if Abraham had said, yes, God, I believe that I'm going to adopt my cousin's kid, would he be believing God's promise?
No.
No. If Abraham had said, yes, God, I believe you're going to give me a daughter and she'll give me like a grandson, is that believing God's promise?
No.
No, because God promised a son, so you have to believe God for a son. In the same way, Jesus promised everlasting life. So if you don't believe your salvation is everlasting, you have not believed in Jesus for what he promised.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Now, of course, that means we should all be concerned about our friends and loved ones who come from some sort of work salvation church.
Absolutely.
I mean, we should be trying to evangelize them. One way I found, and I know you have as well, you have a book on it, is if we talk to people about assurance, wouldn't you like to be sure that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? That's a great way to evangelize people because they don't feel you're questioning their salvation, even though you are. But what you're saying is, wouldn't you like to know that for sure?
Yeah.
And they often will say, well, yeah, but that's impossible. And then we start showing them from the scriptures, and we can lead them to faith. Of course, as I mentioned before, they could be someone who got it when they were younger and have now strayed and they've gotten involved in some work salvation type group or lordship salvation type group. But
right.
I like what you're quoting here from Dr. Pentecost.
Well, so you might ask yourself, how do I know that I'm eternally secure? Well, I have this great quote again from Pentecost from that same book on page 127. He says, "The promise of God is a basis for our security. We go into a familiar passage such as John 3:16, where it is made so clear, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Notice the two aspects of the promise. Negatively, he shall not perish. And positively, he shall have everlasting life.
Oh, that's good.
Right? So Pentecost is saying eternal security is in John 3:16.
Right.
It's in the promise of God. He says, when God offers a man life, God offers a man only one kind of life, and that is eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God, and as God's life can never be terminated by death, so the life of God given to the child of God could never be terminated.
That's good.
We submit to you that the promise of God to give eternal life to the one who accepts Christ as a Savior is a sufficient basis for our security. What Pentecost is saying, I mean, do you believe in John 3:16? I imagine that you would say, yes, I do. Well, do you have assurance of your salvation? Because John 3:16 says that you have a life that can never be terminated. It is everlasting. It is eternal. So do you have assurance? Do you believe that you are secure forever, that you have everlasting life, that you have eternal salvation? I love that quote from Pentecost because that is definitely what our ministry stands for.
Right.
The kind of salvation that Jesus gives is eternal salvation. It's not probation. It's not temporary. It can't be terminated. It is forever.
I might point out in the two quotes we just talked about, however, when he ends, he talks about the one who accepts Christ as his personal Savior or accepts Christ as his Savior. And that's a bit murky. That's a bit confusing. But he's going to go on and talk about faith. And when he does, I think we can clear that up.
It would have been better if he had said the one who believes.
Right.
Just use Jesus' language or the language of John 3:16 if you believe. But I can still appreciate, you know, the heart of it. Right?
Absolutely.
So then in the condition of salvation, he's going to say that it is of faith. And I have this. Here's a quote from page 244 of Designed to Be Like Him. He says, "It is of faith that it might be of grace, to the end that it might be sure. If God covenanted to do 99% of the work of salvation, if you did 1%, you would have no certainty that you had accomplished your part of the bargain so that God could do his 99%. You would live out your days in dread and fear because you would have no assurance that you had lived up to your part of the bargain. But in order that salvation might be sure, God says it must be by grace. It is no wonder we delight to sing of the grace of God that brought salvation, for it is gracious salvation that gives us certainty, security, and assurance."
And by the way, Sean, that's actually from Things Which Become Sound Doctrine on page 27.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misquoted.
Yeah, you were looking at a different footnote.
I love that. It has to be by faith. Why? So that we can have assurance.
Absolutely.
That was God's plan. He wants his children to be sure of their salvation. He doesn't want them to be scared, living in dread that they haven't done their 1%.
He's basically arguing that assurance is of the essence of saving faith, although he doesn't use that expression.
Right. So what is the nature of faith? Now, in the nature of faith, Pentecost says it's an attitude towards God in which we consider him to be a faithful God who will perform what he has promised. I'm not thrilled with that language, but it tells us that the object of faith is just believing that God is going to do what he promised.
Right.
And I agree with that. You know, I don't like the word attitude, but it's believing that it's true. What God says is true.
Right.
Is what we would say. Pentecost also believed faith and repentance were synonyms. And so he kind of took this view.
The change of mind.
The change of mind view of repentance.
Which was very popular. In fact, I wrote my dissertation on it. So I once held it.
So he says, when one believes a fact, he turns from doubt or unbelief to faith in that revealed fact. So your mind changes. And we would agree, faith is a change of mind from going from unbelief to belief.
Right.
But you wrote a whole book just saying, but the word repentance, That's not what the word repentance means.
No. In my book, Turn and Live, I show how in the Old and New Testament, repentance is turning from sins. And right. it's never a condition of everlasting life.
Right.
But those who say, like Dr. Pentecost, that it is a change of mind about Christ, I really don't have a problem with that. It's just that there's no verse that actually defines repentance in that way. But yeah, I
think technically, faith is a change of mind. So
right.
we will agree that
right.
faith is a change of mind. So the nature of faith, I think he's fairly clear that it's about believing a fact.
And he talks about believing the promise.
Yeah, and believing
the
promise.
And here he's talking about the promise of everlasting life
right.
that will never perish. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I find myself in large agreement with that. And then finally, with lordship salvation. Here's a great quote. He says, "Some will teach that salvation is by faith in good works, or salvation is by faith in baptism, or salvation is by faith plus church membership, or salvation is by faith plus repentance. These are all attempts to darken the mind of man who needs to be saved concerning the central issue and the basic plan of redemption."
Wow.
Have you ever been confused like that, where people say, no, it's not enough to believe, you need to be baptized too, you need to join a church? Well, Pentecost says, he talks about Israelites looking at the bronze serpent, and he says the Israelites didn't have to work. They didn't have to pray. They didn't have to plead. They didn't have to make a promise. They didn't have to pay. They just had to look. And to look upon that serpent was to respond in faith to the message and the fact that Moses presented.
And that's, by the way, John 3:14-15, where Jesus says, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, so that ever who looks upon him will live.
So that's true today. You don't have to work. You don't have to pray. You don't have to plead. You don't have to make a promise. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, you get the kind of salvation that can never be terminated in death, that can never be lost, but which is everlasting.
That's good. So he was not favorable to lordship salvation.
No, he was not favorable. And I would say Pentecost was pretty clear that salvation is by faith, apart from works, in Jesus for everlasting life.
Right.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a look at the theology of a well-known teacher named Charles C. Ryrie. You don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.